Was it painful? Was it hard to see an asset that you have a line of credit tied up in for that many years, not cash flowing? That was hard. Yeah. But what's harder, not getting the lessons or going through the experience? Welcome back, everyone. This is Liz Faircloth.
And I am Andressa Gadelli.
And we are the hosts of the Invest Her podcast. We're going to be sharing with you both of our worst investments and what we learned from them.
So proud of it. I'm so excited to share all the things that went wrong.
The reason why we're sharing these worst investments with you today is because the same lessons that we learned from it are so applicable in today's investing landscape. So we thought it'd be perfect to share with you our scars, if you will, so that you can learn and grow and implement them literally in your own business today.
Don't implement the mistakes, implement the lessons, just to clarify. So Liz, let's get started with your worst investment. Give to all of us a quick summary of what are we talking about?
Yes. So we, in 2008, many moons ago, bought a vacant commercial building. It was our first commercial purchase. We bought it for $525,000. It was 10,000 square feet. And a very interesting building, Andressa. I know you, just to give everyone a visual, it almost looked like a big bowling alley. It was a very long building, and it was one story. So, and it was in Trenton, New Jersey was the location. So our goal with buying this building, I'm just going to share quickly, our goal was very simple: to make a lot of cash flow. and I say that funny because we didn't have the most extensive business plan, which I'll get to our mistakes. But the goal was to have one single tenant of the building, and then we would be totally doing great with our cash flow. We ran all of our numbers, but based on the square feet, et cetera, et cetera. And that did not happen.
All right. We're going to get to the problem of what happened later on. Mine was a single family home, three stories in South Philadelphia in a very nice neighborhood. We're supposed to just go in, rehab it, turn it around in 3 months. And this project became a new construction that took 2 years. Ooh, take a deep breath there.
Take a deep breath.
It's bringing me memories.
I know, right? When you start talking about these things, your heartbeat starts to go a little more intense. Like, hey.
So Liz, what went wrong?
Yeah. What went wrong was that, and I see this literally today as well with so many investors, but what went wrong for us was that we put the deal ahead of the market. What I didn't know at the time was that the market drives everything. And that might seem obvious, but we often get so enamored with a property, a deal, a project. And we know so much about that project. We know so much about that building. And you literally ask three questions about the market and people cannot answer those questions. Like they literally know it like the palm of their hand. So that was the biggest, biggest challenge, biggest mistake we made. The problem, like literally that we had, was that when we bought the building, the market crashed as well, right around the same time. And the appetite for one user of this building, we couldn't find them. there was no one company, one organization that wanted that type of building in that market at that time. That's a big problem in real estate, right, Andressa?
It is. So what did you guys do to solve that specific problem?
So what we did was here's what we did well. We started talking to people, city officials, and talking like what is needed in this community. We should have done that before we purchased the building, but regardless, we did that as time was ticking away. And what we became very evident was that the need for small office space was needed. Again, how much it was needed in an urban community that's still figuring itself out was to be left, up in the air. But we knew that there could be some opportunity there in talking to the different city officials. So that's what we ended up doing. We ended up getting a construction loan that we did not anticipate getting with a vacant building at the time, and doing what we could to create small office space. And without having any tenants signed, we had no tenants with a lease at that point. So again, like you think about the risk that we took, right? We're not going to get, no bank's going to give you a construction loan now with no leases in place. But we did that. And so we started small and started to get the attorney, the real estate investor. And at the peak, we had about 18 tenants. And you might be saying, why is that your worst investment? Sounds like a, you know, you really turn it around. We did. We never cash flow. We owned that building for 15 years. We never cash flowed. And I'm not a big fan of owning investment properties that don't cash flow. So.
Oh, goodness. So in my case, it was a super straightforward deal. Go in, rehab, full gut, everything new, good to go. Done it several times. This deal, I had a partner in it. And that was a money partner. The kicker there, he was more experienced at that time. I think was what, 2013? He was much more experienced than I was at that time. And hear this out. He was in charge of the construction. And he hired a contractor that was not skilled enough to support the exterior walls.
Oh, geez.
While they were demoing it. What happened? It imploded. Not with people inside. Thank goodness that didn't happen.
Oh, geez.
But it imploded. And when it imploded, it took all the beams, right? Which made that project when it's much more, I think 75%. Don't quote me on that. I don't remember the percentage of it. But if you need to replace over a percentage, it becomes new construction. Here's the problem. When it becomes new construction, guess what? My architect designs won't work again because I had grandfather things in it.
Oh, no.
That got destroyed.
Ooh.
That now my numbers won't make sense if I cannot execute that exact architect plan there, that it's utilizing the space that nowadays I wouldn't be able to. It's like a foot from the back of the house all the way up, right? So then go back to zero, go back to architect drawings. We went to the community meetings, request a variance there so we could execute what we had planned before. Big no, went to Zoom. It's always fun, right?
Yeah.
Nightmare, like a nightmare.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking, oh, you did that in a few weeks. No, it took months. Every single step took like months. And then we went to the zoning committee. We have that's the first time that I had a owner's rep representing me on learn a ton about owner's rep that time. Representing me, attorneys involved, and here we go.
For those listening, explain what an owner's rep is.
So an owner's rep is somebody that is going to represent me in front of a committee that has reputable experience. But what I learn is that depending on what legal matter is, an owner's rep doesn't carry too much.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
who chooses the owner's rep? Do you choose it? Or
I choose. Okay. Yeah, it's somebody that's going to
represent your interests.
Let's say the guy that we hire, he was very knowledgeable, right? Very knowledgeable about the LNI rules and engineering. He was an older retired engineer that was now doing owner's rep. Your owner's rep sometimes is used for, let's say, I don't want to manage this project. Then you have an owner's rep going to the project, checking if the job was done properly, and then release the payment. In our case, it was more not on that side. It was more towards what was going on with the city and the committee and things like that. But it didn't hold too much on when it comes down to legalities, right? Learn lesson. But long story short, it took us 2 years to get that project done, and it became a new construction. We were able to sell it, but then you start looking at the carrying costs, right? The carrying costs. My projection of my portion of the profit was $80,000.
Whoa, that would have been nice.
And I'll share in a minute how much I made, if I made any.
What'd you make, Anjessa? Drum roll, please.
So 2 years later and after everything, I made $7,000 and change. Listen, I paid for all the mistakes that I have made. So I'll list three mistakes that I have made, right? If I am going to be partnering up with somebody, I want to have control of certain decisions and how fast we're going to hire somebody. With the experience that I have right now, I am in charge of the construction. There's no option. But at that time, I didn't have experience, so it didn't make sense, right? But I want to have a call on who we're going to hire and how much we're going to pay and what's going on with that sense prior of having all of the circumstances happening, right? Prior of going to a deal. The second lesson is that I did not have uncomfortable conversations with my partner. We did not. I don't remember us sitting down and just saying, hey, this is not working. Let's reset the partnership. We have done multiple deals at the same time.
Did you not have them because you avoided them, or did you not have them because you didn't think you needed them?
It was not a concept at that time. Right. Right now, you're like, what the hell? We do those on a daily basis with everybody that we, you know, do business with. We realign and then we move forward. It was not a practice. Don't get me wrong. We had several meetings about the project itself. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having one-on-one meetings about the relationship, the partnership, what's working, what's not working. I did not have it. And that cost me that partnership. That was the last deal that we did together. We did about like a handful around that, between 5 and 10 deals we have done together. But that was the last one that we did it. And then the third related to partnerships is that as you start growing, right? I knew he had his ways of doing business. Right. And I accepted that messy way of doing business. I accepted that as, oh, he's more experienced than I am. I discounted what I was bringing to the table. I could have organized much more the process and managed the architect and the meetings and everything and speed things up much more. I remember taking a step back and more watching than acting because the person was more experienced. And I think that was a mistake because my skills in terms of project management, I could have supported much more the project versus, wow, let me step back because now I never done this before, or maybe what I'm thinking is not what it is. No, I know now for sure. I could have really like, hey, I know I don't have experience with this type of project, but let me try this, and that, because I'm seeing how can we expedite this much more because I'm bringing this level of organization and tracking to the table, which that's not what you have. And he didn't have that. And that also contribute to the length of the project. So again, a combination, right? Me taking responsibility for not stepping up and many times speaking my truth and realigning and getting things done. So those were my lessons. It seems very like, how could you?
Yeah, right. But it's like, what were you thinking? I think that for me is the same in the sense of like, what were you thinking? So I think the biggest mistake that we made was that at the time we bought this building, we were really getting some traction with our multifamily purchases, and in a very specific type of multifamily, you know, small multi, dilapidated buildings, renovating the classic Burr strategy. And we were really starting to get some traction and kind of like that sense of like repeat and rinse and repeat, which I didn't realize at the time is so important in this business. And then we take like a shift, right? And then we're like, we're going to buy a 10,000 square foot building. Like so random, right? And I'm grateful for the journey. I'm grateful for the building, but it is random. It's like, whoa, I'm pivoting here. And the mistake is not that people aren't going to pivot, because I do believe every time we're faced with a new type of market, this market is different than the market 3 years ago. we have to constantly say, how do I get to my goals and potentially pivot? It's a fair question, but we pivoted. So we pivoted on a strategy and did not have the knowledge or even the team member to help us mitigate the risk. What do I mean by that? We bought a building, got into the business of having a bunch of small tenants. That's a business, right? That's a business in and of itself. So if you say, and then you say, who was managing it, Liz? It was me, Matt, and a cast of people managing that building. And so that I would do differently. If I bought a 10,000 square foot building in a market or a commercial building, I would have an operator who knows their stuff running that building before I take on the risk of that investment. Hands down. So didn't do that at the time, but that's okay. Because that costs you time and money. It costs you time and money when you don't know what you're doing when it, from a management perspective. The big other big lesson is that we didn't properly increase rent over the years. We were always so worried on just if people were going to move out, right? The building wasn't cash flowing. So we had to really do our best at managing the tenant base, managing the income that was coming in. But in hindsight, when you think about commercial building and increasing rent and really managing your building in that way, we could have done such a much, much better job of that. And you know why we didn't do that? It wasn't because we were clueless and we didn't know how to do that, or our focus was on so many other projects that was core to our business. So as we're building the multifamily side, right? Because we built our multifamily business over the last 15 years. I'm really proud of that. This building didn't get its proper, it was like neglected almost. And so, and then we're like, well, we're going to hire some. We had all these conversations. It was like the conversation of the year for me and Matt. What are we doing with 354? But we finally found a buyer who was one of our tenants. And we did sell that building. And we did sell it at a profit. But I do look back and go, okay, This could have gone so differently had we, you know, not try to manage it ourselves and really try to bring that person or company in sooner that could have managed it for us. And that's what we ended up doing. And they started managing it, increasing the rent, like they doubled their rent. And I was like, where, and I said to Matt, and it was like funny, it was a conversation we had over dinner. I was like, he's like, you know what they're making now? I'm like, do not tell me. And I'm like, you know what, Matt? Godspeed. You know, we're focused on what we need to be focused on. But I was a little annoyed. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, what were we thinking?
I can't imagine that conversation. You're like, Matt, don't tell me. Matt, how much is it?
Yeah, totally. That's how it went. Because that's how it goes. I'm like, don't tell me. All right, tell me.
But how did you feel, though, you and him, of letting go? I know how you feel, but I want you to share with everybody. How did you feel of when that chapter was closed?
I felt really good, you know, in the sense of felt very proud, and felt very like grateful for the journey and the lessons that it taught me. I don't think I would have this fierce, like knowing the numbers and vetting the operator and not going into a new asset class without a partner or a team member who really knew. I don't think I would be so vigilantly connected to that had I not learned that lesson. So I'm grateful for it. But was it painful? Was it hard to see an asset that you have a line of credit, your parents' line of credit tied up in for that many years, not cash flowing? That was hard. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. But what's harder, right? Not getting the lessons or going through the experience. And we profited on the end. And the building is actually doing good in the community. So I'm really proud of that. People are coming in, they're using it to grow their small businesses. Like, I'm proud of that. Like, that's a legacy. Even though we don't own the building, we don't have an office there anymore. We just literally moved out. So I'm proud of that part, because that was a legacy that was created. And we made, you know, lemonade out of lemons, if you will.
So go to our Facebook group community, share the lessons that you learned on your, now we want to hear about your worst deal, and share what you got out of it. That's the most important thing, right? We go through it, we got lessons, and that's why we share, so others don't need to go through them. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you for listening.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.